The Pentagon is lifting the ban on female service members serving in combat roles. Outgoing Defense Secretary Leon Panetta announced the policy change today, saying the decision was influenced by women's valor in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We are moving forward with a plan to eliminate all unnecessary gender-based barriers to service. Our purpose is to ensure that the mission is carried out by the best qualified and the most capable service members, regardless of gender and regardless of creed and beliefs. If members of our military can meet the qualifications for a job, and let me be clear, I'm not talking about reducing the qualifications for the job. If they can meet the qualifications for the job, then they should have the right to serve, regardless of creed or color or gender or sexual orientation.
A senior defense official said Panetta made the decision upon recommendations of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, an assertion that stunned female veteran activists who said they assumed that the brass was still uneasy about opening the most physically arduous positions to women. The Army and the Marines, which make up the bulk of the military's ground combat force, will present plans to open most jobs to women by May 15th. Leah Bolger is a retired naval commander who is now president of Veterans for Peace. Bolger says she has mixed feelings about the announcement, though overall she sees it as a positive step.
I believe that anybody who's able to do a job should be able to do that job, whether they're gay or straight or white or black or male or female. So I think it's a good thing that women should have every opportunity that men have in the military.
There have been women already in combat, or at least in combat positions, whether or not that was officially their role in the military. There have been more than 100 women killed, 800 wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. How would this change things?
Well, you're right. Women have been in combat roles, although on the books, technically, women were not allowed to be in combat positions. When I joined the Navy in 1980, women were very limited to what they could do, and so it affected our career paths. There was no strong career path from ensign to admiral because women were prohibited from serving in warfare specialties, is what we called them in the Navy. So in the Army, it's very important for rank progression, career promotion, that you get a combat infantry badge. There are certain boxes that need to be checked as you're trying to move your way up the ranks. So yes, women have been serving in combat roles. Women have been killed in combat for all these years. It's been kind of an open secret that women do this kind of job, and now they'd be able to serve any specialty, any position, and be detailed to those positions and given orders to those positions, and not just sort of a behind-the-scenes thing, and they'll be actually recognized as serving in those roles.
And will this have a potential impact on pay grades and what women can earn while in the military?
Well, I would think it would make things easier for women to be promoted because now they'll have equal access to these roles that the military places a high emphasis on in order to be promoted. For instance, when I joined the military, very few women were on ships, and the ships they could go on were non-combatant ships. They were refueling ships or cargo ships or whatever. And because they were so limited, it was difficult for them to get enough hours manning the ship and being in charge. So it's the same problem with all the services. If the women are not given the access to the jobs that are mandated for promotion, then it's difficult for them to get ahead. Now, since I joined in 1980, they have abolished the category that I was designated in because they opened up so many things to women now, where they can fly jets and serve on ships and do all those things. So I think it would definitely increase opportunities for women. They can be competitive alongside their male counterparts and have equal opportunity to the same positions and responsibility.
Do you think it will change the way that women in the military are viewed by enlisted men?
Well, right now we're having a horrendous problem with assaults on women by men in the military, sexual assaults. One in three, this is a Department of Defense statistic, that one in three women in the military will be sexually assaulted. And this is horrific. But I don't think that the answer to this problem is to segregate men and women. The answer is to punish perpetrators and treat this as a real crime, the crime that it is. But I envision that having men and women together in combat, I don't see this decreasing the likelihood that women are going to be assaulted by men.
The announcement that the ban will be lifted is really just the first step.
each of the services now has to prepare a plan, and there may be some exemptions they will have to justify, saying that women cannot serve in particular roles. Do you envision differences between the services and what roles women will be banned from going forward, or do you think this will really open the doors to everything?
Well, I know in the Navy, which is the service I'm most familiar with, of course, since that's the one I served in, for a long time, women could go on ships, but they couldn't serve on submarines. And that was just because of logistics reasons, and just not enough space to provide private areas for people to live with their own gender. But I know they're working on trying to make submarines accessible to women, too. I imagine the special forces, especially, will be very resistant to letting women in, like the SEALs and those kinds of groups. They are very, very tight and secretive programs. They're small groups of people that work together. And I imagine this will be one of the last bastions that women should be allowed into. But like you said, women are serving on the front lines. So women are in combat. Women are in tents and living in the desert. Women are all over the place. So I don't really see that it's all that difficult, except...
You have commented that, well, this is definitely a good thing in terms of equality. The real problem is that we're sending anyone into combat at all.
I really think that we have an economic draft of sorts. Most people that join the military do so because they want a good paying, stable job, or they want the money to go to college. And you will not find very many young people who have the means to go to college who join the military. So this just opens the door for more women to join the military and women who might not have the opportunity to go to school. Veterans for Peace works to abolish war as an instrument of national policy, and we think that the military interventions that our country is engaged in right now in Afghanistan and Pakistan are illegal and immoral, and we would like to see people resisting joining the military, and people who are already in the military, we would like to see them and support them in resisting orders to kill people who are innocent and who are not truly the enemies of our country. I see this as kind of a sad commentary, too, that for the cost of sending one soldier to Afghanistan for a year, which is a little over $1 million, we could send 40 young people to 1 year to college at $25,000 a year. And I ask you and I ask your listeners to decide, what would you rather have your tax dollars spent on, 40 people to go to college for a year or one soldier to go to Afghanistan for a year? And it makes no difference to me whether they're male or female. To me, this just seems like a civil rights issue of opportunity and not really an issue of war and peace. I liken this to Don't Ask, Don't Tell and lifting that. And yes, that was good news, but that's not something that I'm rejoicing about personally, because I don't want to see gay people forced into a situation where they have to kill or be killed in a war situation. So it's good news in some respects, but not something I'm jumping up and down about.
Leah Bolger is a retired naval commander and president of Veterans for Peace.